welcome to iPharmRx, where we explore the evidence that informs ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iPharmRx. Today's topic, treating depression in patients who've experienced an acute cardiac event. Depression is very common in patients with cardiac disease, and depression might lead to poor self-care behaviors that ultimately impact short- and long-term health outcomes. Over the past decade, several studies, including MIND, IT, SAD Heart, and Enriched-D, have examined the safety of using antidepressants in patients who've had a recent myocardial infarction or acute coronary syndrome. And overall, SSRIs and SNRIs appear to be safe to use in terms of cardiac outcomes, but it's unclear if their use improves long-term morbidity or mortality. Recently, in July 2018, the long-term results of the SDPACS study were published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, which provides some potentially compelling evidence. Joining me today to talk about the study are Hansita Patel and Abigail Holsizer. Dr. Patel and Dr. Holsizer are with the University of Incarnate Word Fike School of Pharmacy in sunny San Antonio, Texas. Dr. Patel is on faculty and is an ambulatory care specialist practicing at UT Health Primary Care Clinic. And Dr. Holsizer is a PGY2 pharmacotherapy resident. So together with their colleague, Dr. Blair Sarbacher at Presbyterian College, they wrote a commentary for iPharmRx entitled The Importance of a Healthy Mind in Patients with an Unhealthy Heart. Hansita and Abby, thanks so much for joining me today for the iPharmRx podcast.
Thank you for having us, Stuart.
Thank you.
So before we get started, I want you to imagine you're seeing BR, a 63-year-old African-American man, in the primary care clinic today for a follow-up visit following hospital discharge last week. And the patient was admitted to the hospital with chest pain and subsequently diagnosed with unstable angina. He was treated with an anticoagulant, antiplatelet therapy, and started on a statin. Patient has been treated in your clinic for a long period of time, indeed for about a decade. He has a long-standing history of high blood pressure, is overweight, and until his recent hospitalization, he was previously considered, quote, healthy. He reports no family or personal history of cardiovascular disease. However, the admission workup indicated that the patient was tired and withdrawn for the past 6 months after being laid off from his job as a supervisor at a local manufacturing facility. The patient currently takes lisinopril 20 and amlodipine 5 daily for blood pressure control, atorvastatin 80 for dyslipidemia, clopidogrel 75 milligrams daily, as well as aspirin 81 milligrams daily. And he currently weighs 235 pounds, which has increased actually nearly 25 pounds from about a year ago, and his BMI is 32.2. Blood pressure today is 128 over 66, and he had a fasting chem 7 and an A1C and a lipid panel drawn this morning. And those results look fine. His electrolytes are all within normal limits. His GFR is greater than 60, and his blood glucose was 82, A1C of 5.1, LDL cholesterol of 82, HDL cholesterol 48, and triglycerides were 87. So, before we talk about the study you critically reviewed in your iPharmRx commentary, can you tell us about some of the things that are going through your mind in a case like this? What additional information might you want to collect and assess during this encounter? And are there any additional treatment options you'd be considering at this point?
Well, it sounds as though he's being well managed overall per AHA ACC guidelines, but we're not sure if we missed it. We would also like to collect the heart rate to see if he'd be a good candidate for a beta blocker as well. We'd also like to assess adherence potentially to his current treatment and confirm that he didn't have a history of depression in the past, or check with him to make sure he hadn't received treatment with an antidepressant in the past as well.
Also, since the patient was already withdrawn due to life circumstances prior to this event, we would want to see if his mood had worsened at all or assess his symptoms, most commonly by doing a PHQ-9 as a more objective measure of depression. This is also good to assess whether or not he's a good candidate for treatment. And the PHQ-9 can assess through its questioning for suicidal ideation. We'd also like to see if he had a good support system at home, because outcomes tend to improve both cardiovascularly and mentally when they do have those good support systems.
And last but certainly not least, we'd want to encourage the patient to adhere to a healthy diet and lifestyle, especially considering his weight gain. So making sure that he's getting the recommended 150 minutes of physical activity per week, and addressing smoking cessation as well if he is a smoker, after, of course, assessing his willingness to quit.
So, Hansita, in the commentary you wrote for iFormerX, you briefly described the original S-DPAX study. So can you give us a brief synopsis of the design and results of the original study?
Sure. So the original trial was a single-center, 24-week randomized, double-blinded, placebo-controlled trial that looked at the efficacy of escitalopram treatment in treating depression in patients who recently experienced an ACS event. Out of the 1,152 patients that were screened, about 40% or 446 patients were determined to have depression per the DSM criteria, which was an inclusion criteria for the study. And out of that group, about 146 patients refused to participate in the trial, which left the total of 300 patients that were randomized to receive either escitalopram or placebo. So the patients in the trial were around 60 years old, 60% were male, 60% had hypertension, about 50% were obese, and only 6% had actually experienced an MI. So patients in the study were either assigned to receive flexible dosing escitalopram with doses ranging from 5 to 20 milligrams or placebo. And the primary outcome looked at the improvement of depression, or the decrease in the Hamilton Depression Rating Scale is what they used, the HDRS. Overall, they found escitalopram improved depression symptoms in a clinically meaningful way without showing any concern regarding cardiac safety and or even weight gain.
So, Abby, let's talk about the methods and the results of this extended follow-up study, which was published in JAMA. And that study was called The Effect of Escitalopram versus Placebo Treatment on Long-Term Cardiac Outcomes in Patients with Acute Coronary Syndrome, a Randomized Clinical Trial. So there are probably many of our audience members who haven't read the paper yet. So can you give us a brief summary of the follow-up methods and the major findings from this follow-up study?
So in this follow-up study, the investigators continued to follow all of the patients initially in that S-DPAX study. They followed them for a mean of 8 years to assess whether or not they had any major cardiac events or MACE. This was possible because in Korea, there's actually a nationwide online registry that tracks the medical outcomes for patients with a history of acute MI or acute ACS. All of the patients in the initial study were enrolled in this registry, allowing for that continued follow-up time. Specifically, the primary outcome was these MACE events, or the rate, looking at a composite of all-cause mortality, MI, and PCI. There was also 4 secondary outcomes, including a breakdown of the composites, so all-cause mortality, MI, and PCI separately, along with cardiac death. Overall, the study found that 41% of those in the escitalopram group versus 54% of those in the placebo group experienced that composite outcome, which equals about a 13% absolute risk reduction, which was very significant. The majority of the difference, however, did come from those who had a secondary MI, which was significantly fewer patients in the escitalopram group versus those in the placebo group.
So, Hansita, in your commentary, you talk about some of the key strengths and limitations of this study. Tell us a little bit more about some of your concerns, whether you believe the study makes a compelling case that we should screen all patients following an MI or ACS for depression and treating it if it's detected.
So this study was the first long-term study looking at SSRIs that looked at MACE as a primary outcome. And this allows for promising information, as this trial was adequately powered to not only demonstrate long-term cardiac safety of escitalopram, but also ended up showing a potential for long-term cardiac benefit as well. The very fact that this trial showed that treatment with escitalopram not only effectively treats depression without increasing risk of cardiovascular events, but potential cardiovascular benefit, is reason enough for me to screen all patients for depression, because these patients would not only benefit from treatment of depression, but now it could potentially decrease their risk of having future cardiac events as well.
So I'm curious if you think escitalopram is special or unique in some way. Can we extrapolate the results of this study to other SSRIs or perhaps SNRIs?
So I do believe escitalopram is special in a way, although the safety profile of SSRIs are great overall and have the most studies to support their use. Two of our most commonly used SSRIs, including sertraline, as shown in the SAD-HEART trial, and of course escitalopram, that's shown in this ESTAPAX trial, have now demonstrated safety in patients who are post-ACS in the long term. Although the CREATE trial did show the use of escitalopram did not necessarily worsen cardiovascular outcomes, we do still tend to avoid escitalopram due to its potential risk for QT prolongation, which is of larger magnitude than that of escitalopram. And then in regards to paroxetine has itself not been studied in patients who are post-ACS, so I don't really think the results of this trial can be extrapolated.
And with that being said, we don't believe that the results should be extrapolated to SNRIs either. There has been really no evidence suggesting that SNRIs are necessarily detrimental to cardiovascular health, even in patients with cardiovascular disease. But I'm not sure we can extrapolate this study without stronger evidence in post-ACS patients, because based on their mechanisms, they do show an increase in systemic norepinephrine release and have that potential effect on our adrenergic activity.
So back to our case, BR. Let's assume that the depression screen is positive. What should we do, given that many men, particularly African American men, are reluctant to take antidepressants? How would you approach the conversation? And if he elects to be treated with a medication, what drug would you recommend, and how long would you continue treatment?
I think this is a really great question. So for BR, if his depression screen was positive, I would discuss with him the commonality of feeling sad or depressed after a recent health scare, especially after something like an MI or, for him, unstable angina. I would emphasize the known risks associated with untreated depression and cardiovascular health, such as having future events that can lead to a higher risk of death. So I would also discuss with him how treatments with medications like SSRIs, such as escitalopram, are beneficial for both his mood and his cardiovascular health.
To add to that, I would also reassure him that treatment is not lifelong, but only temporary. So in many of the previous trials that looked at SSRI treatment post-ACS, the treatment time period was for about 24 weeks or a 6 months time period. In current practice, we often do treat the initial episode of depression for 6 months, although treatment can sometimes go up to a year potentially.
And with that, I'd start him out on an initial dose of about 10 milligrams a day, treat for about 6 months, and then reassess his need for treatment at that time.
Well, Abby and Sita, I want to thank you both for joining me today to discuss the treatment of depression in patients with cardiac disease. And I think it's clear from your comments that you believe depression really needs to be treated in patients post-MI or post-ACS, that it has both a mental health benefit in terms of treating depressive symptoms, but it likely has a long-term benefit in terms of cardiovascular outcomes. Well, tell us what you think. Only iFormerX members can leave comments and use the interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iFormerX. It's free, so sign up today. And if you are a board-certified ambulatory care pharmacist and want to earn recertification credit for this program through the American Pharmacists Association, click on the link posted below the commentary on our website. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormerX, signing off.